You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. New England Patriots are your Super Bowl champions, the best in the world. Alongside Scott Angle, Tony Zincata, and Corey Parson, and Greg Sussman, they are the very best here in the world, undisputed right now. And then, you know, the worst part is, Tony, for these poor Falcon fans, you know how the Falcons are going to open up their season, right?
Oh, no. How are they going to open it up?
In Foxborough.
Yep.
They play each other in Foxborough next year. And that's going to be the first game of the year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's ugly.
Yes.
The poor Patriots, Patriots are getting stuck to go Mexico next year to play the Raiders.
Oh. Well, are they be allowed to come back?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, maybe they play, you know, maybe it'll change. I don't know.
Yeah. Crazy. So... We talked about this a little bit on Next Week in Fantasy on over the weekend, and it was about rooting, because, like, obviously I have no dog in this fight. I told Corey, like, I don't even dislike the Patriots, maybe because my team always beats them, but I didn't dislike the Patriots. But I found myself, when it was all said and done, like, I didn't think I'd be as passionate as I was, but I found myself rooting for the Falcons. Was I devastated when the Patriots won? No. But I rooted for the Falcons. I know Corey's rooting for the Falcons, and of course Tony's rooting for the Patriots. And Scotty, you know, we asked you when we came in here, oh, you know, who were you rooting for last night? And you had a very interesting response, I thought. So Scott, I'll ask you on the air now. Who were you rooting for last night?
No one. I just wanted to see a good football game. I don't hate the Patriots. It's like, it seems like everybody hates the Patriots or really likes them. They're very polarizing, but I respect him. I enjoy watching Brady do what he does. The way Belichick coaches things up, I was impressed by the Falcons. And I would say, you know, when they were ahead 28-3, I was very impressed by what the Falcons were doing, and I thought it was compelling. But I said, oh, I'd like to see a comeback and see it go down to the wire here. So, you know, when my team's in it, I don't really pull for anybody. So, you know, that's just the way I looked at it.
Tony, I feel very strongly that, listen, I wanted a good game more than anything else. I admit that, right? I want a great game. We got one. We got an unbelievable game, some would say. Not some would say it was. But to me, I don't think it's possible. So I disagree with Scott. I don't think it's possible to be able to watch a game and not, like, feel like a pull
it's
toward
not possible
one
team. For you.
I don't think it's possible in general. I feel like inherently you root for someone.
You don't. Not everybody's like you. You have to step outside of yourself.
I hate when you do this.
Because it's the truth. You have to step outside of yourself. It's like when people say, I can't believe everybody likes that movie or that band. It's subjective. Other people have different ways of looking at things, and that's just the way it is. That's the way our world is. There's a big world out there.
So I gotta ask you how you clarify this, though.
Sure.
I watch a lot of games where I could give a shit who wins,
right?
But I'm rooting for certain players,
so
I do have pull one way or another,
right
there. And there are certain teams, like, besides the local team, the Boston, that, you know, there's certain players you like and you root for those
absolutely
there. But absolutely, I watch so many games that I can watch a game and I don't really care who wins, but I'm rooting for the players because I've gone so far in this industry now, and I play all these different crazy games.
Yes,
that I end up losing my fan. I've lost some of my fan appetite.
Okay.
Yeah, for rooting for these teams. And even my home teams, I don't even root for in the regular season. I'm more about just, well, who's going to, you know, make money for me, who's going to be more profitable for me, and things like that. And really, the playoffs in all the sports is where I get to be a fan again.
So I'll definitely quantify that, right? You're absolutely right. When it comes to, let's say, football season, I'm watching a regular game that, you know, AFC games, I'm a Giants fan, I'm watching an AFC game, it doesn't matter. I'm only rooting for players in that scenario. Totally agree. I'm rooting for fantasy purposes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely with you. In the Super Bowl, I don't have a fantasy player, of course. Right? I didn't play. Right. I didn't play the Pro Bowl, Super Bowl.
I actually said that today. I'm the only. I said, you know what? I play a lot of things in my life, and I just couldn't get into that.
Right. So I didn't do that. So I'm watching the Super Bowl. So I'm not rooting for players. Okay. I have no dog in the fight. My team's out of it. I found myself rooting for the Falcons. I thought, you know, they're the underdog. The Patriots are the big kahuna. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the Falcons to win. So I found myself rooting for them. And I don't see Corey. You know, you're not a Falcons fan. You're a Cowboys fan, obviously. Yeah, you do have some ties to Atlanta, though.
Yeah, I root for them. I mean, I was rooting for them yesterday.
On Friday, we talked about this. You had said, like, yeah, you know, you could watch it. You can watch a game. You're not rooting for anyone. That's what you told me. You know, you don't like the Patriots, but you're not really rooting for anyone. And you disagreed that, like, you can, like, a big game like this, like the World Series or whatever, you don't really care. The Cubs are the Indians, right?
No.
You don't really care. But when you watch the game, I said, say they were saying to Scott this morning, I said that inherently you wind up rooting for someone.
When you're in the moment and you're actually watching the game, I do think that you begin to form an allegiance to a team.
Yes!
As the course of the game goes, there's certain things you want to see play out and stuff like that. You don't want to see this horrific loss happen, or you want to see this great comeback. You know, different storylines get involved. You take a liking to a player or his effort or something like that, and you naturally end up picking and rooting for a side.
I think both of you guys agree on that, and then I don't. It's like different people, you know, feel different ways about it. Corey agrees with you. You guys both feel that way. That's valid. I don't feel that way, and it's just as valid. The only problem I have is you say I can't see where anybody else wouldn't feel that way. I don't, and that's it. It's reality. I want to watch a good game.
Sure.
Because if the Patriots won, I could say to Tony, congratulations, I'm happy for you. Joe, I'm happy for you. Tim McCullough, I'm happy for you. I got another Patriot fan friend, I'm happy for them. I have another Patriot fan friend in Florida who's a complete obnoxious ass. And, you know, I didn't want to see it win for them. But, you know, it's like, whatever way it goes is, to me, whatever way it goes. I just want to see good, compelling football.
I'm trying to think of a game that I've watched where I had, like, no interest in the outcome.
Right.
Because I can't think of one. Because of the whole fantasy angle, like...
What about last year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, who played...
Denver and Carolina.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wanted to actually see Carolina win.
Sure.
And so I rooted for the underdog.
Right.
For me, even though they weren't the underdog, Peyton Manning's been there 100 times.
Yes, yes.
So I think the general population, and I think that's what happened yesterday, too.
Yes.
People outside of Atlanta, right? You root for the underdog most times. Even though I think the greatest thing in sports is when you have teams like the Patriots and one team that dominates and they become the villain. Like, I think that's the greatest thing in sports. And I think the Golden State Warriors are on their way to being that way.
I could not agree more. That was something else we talked about over the weekend, was that, you know, Corey sat here saying, I hate the Patriots. I'm so pissed at the Patriots. I'm like, no. You love the Patriots are here. This would not be the same if the Patriots were not in the Super Bowl. You wouldn't have this passion against some schlub team, right? Like, people want to see the Patriots get to the Super Bowl and then lose. That is what, because you have the biggest villain you can get here, and I totally agree, Tone, that the Warriors, because it's funny, the Warriors, much like the Patriots, right, like, they were underdogs at one point, they were nice, they were fun, and now they're villains.
Something you just said plays to my point, though. I didn't have passion on either side, so I'm not going to pull for anybody. I love football.
How did I place your point?
No, you say you have, you feel passionate about things. I don't feel passionate against the Patriots. I don't feel passionate against the Patriots or for the Patriots. I don't feel passionate for or against the Falcons. I just wanted to watch it from being a football fan.
I just don't like the New England Patriots. I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. I don't want them to win. I don't want them to win. Them being there, them being the villain, makes it better. Mm-hmm. You know, and my thought process is, okay, fine, they got that one. Then we'll just I just let my Cowboys in this. You know what I'm saying? Just let my Cowboys in this run right here. Let them end this dynasty, put this to rest.
Let me ask you
since
this,
nobody
Scott.
Else can seem to get it done. Seattle.
The Giants would.
The Giants. The Giants.
Yeah. And that makes it worse.
Let me ask you this, Scotty.
The Cowboys just got to win playoff games.
Do you think that...
Did you hear NFL honors? What's his name?
That was awesome.
He said Dak and Ezekiel look like rookies who played like Cowboy veterans. They got eliminated right away.
Do you think that Bill Belichick became more likable this week?
No.
I feel he did.
Really?
I feel like he did.
That interview with Chris Berman.
The interview with Chris Berman, yeah. He just...
He seemed more humanized.
Yes, he didn't seem all gruff and mean this week.
What I
he
will
seemed
say,
more personable.
What I will say, people, when people say, who is the architect, who is the reason for the success, is it Brady or Belichick? It's Belichick. That's what I came away with this with, is Belichick.
And you know what? You guys pointed at the top of the show, particularly you, Tone. You talked about how this game was won and lost, certainly by the players, but like a lot of it was on the coaching staff. And I look back to Belichick, and these guys have been there before. There was no panic on the sidelines. I mean, maybe they did the onside kick, right? Maybe they went for a fourth down early. But you know what? That's better. That's just good coaching, because they realized they got to make some plays now. They weren't playing on their heels. They were playing, moving, going forward. And that's why they went with Julian Edelman throwing the ball on third down, because they knew they'd go for it on the fourth down. So to me, that's better coaching so much than being lucky here. There was no panic on that sideline. You didn't have Matt Patricia going nuts. You didn't have Belichick screaming his head off. You didn't have him just staring into the abyss. They had a plan, and they got through it. That's one of the best.
The Patriots have been there. You know, I talked about experience, et cetera, and I heard on Atlanta radio this morning, you know, people killing Matt Ryan for walking around on the sidelines by himself and not rallying the team, you know, in like a huddle or something like that.
I'll tell you, there were two things that I thought yesterday that on the sidelines were things that people just take for granted. First of all, if I was Patricia, I'd have to get out of New England sooner. He's never going to get any recognition. Yesterday at the start of the third quarter, Bill Belichick's over with the defense.
Yep.
And he's got his little blue telestrator, and he's going over plays.
I saw
with
that.
I've never seen a head coach go over there and take one of the, you know, defense or the offense and go over, unless it's a head coach that calls the plays like Sean Payton. So to me, that was a big knock on Patricia that he's. I'm not saying he can't do his job or he doesn't do his job, but when you're there with Belichick and he's a defensive guy, you're just never going to get the praise he's won. And the craziest thing I ever saw with those blue telestrators, I saw the Atlanta kicker with one of those looking over the plays, and I'm like, what is he looking at? Just kick the ball.
Well, maybe he's looking at, I don't know, how Shea McClellan jumped over. That was a BS foul also. He didn't do anything wrong.
That was a bad call yesterday. And imagine if the Patriots didn't make one of those two-point conversions. What we'd be talking about today is Gostkowski's missed extra point or that that play right there where he hopped over.
Yep. We would have absolutely, but that's exactly what we would have been talking about here. I actually admired Belichick, what he did. Like, because the offense is on the field, you're down 25 points. And Belichick helped with the defense guy, and he was very calm. He's like explaining, here's what I see, here's what you do. It was obviously a masterclass in coaching last night. It was brilliant, man. It was brilliant. And how pissed Corey San Francisco that they have Shanahan and not Josh McDaniels. Right,
I know.
Now.
They're like, oh my goodness, we brought this dude to coach our franchise. We waited all the way to the end, last team to hire a head coach.
But they would have felt great if the game would have just ended in the third quarter.
They'd have been like, we got it.
Well, maybe Shanahan's the kind of guy who can, you know, at least get him back to respectability.
He might get fired, though. He might get fired this morning.
He's not going to.
Breaking news. Kyle Shanahan fired.
He's not getting fired.
Nah, he's not going to get fired.
Stop with that. All right, we'll come back, and we'll break down the numbers a little bit. We haven't gone over the numbers yet. So I'll go over the numbers, and they're staggering. So we'll do that after the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I mentioned it before. Tom Brady, the MVP, is 4th-1. Let me ask you, Scott Angle.
Hold on, I'm grooving.
All right, I'll just ignore you then. Corey, I'll ask you then.
Yo.
The Super Patriots in the Brady era, as we said, won 5 Super Bowls.
Yep.
Tom Brady has 4 MVPs.
Yep.
And the 5th Super Bowl they won, who won the MVP?
Mm-hmm.
Who won it? You didn't ask the question. That's why I didn't ask you, Tony, because I know you know it. I know it, too.
The kicker.
It is not the kicker.
That's a good guess, though, right?
It wasn't Adam Vinatieri's great guess. Good guess.
It wasn't Adam Vinatieri.
No.
Oh, Deion Branch.
There you go. Good job, my man. Good job. Deion Branch did it. I thought James White would have had it last night, but I get it. It's Brady, whatever.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys one question before we move on. I brought this up on the news show.
Yeah.
I think Wes Welker is going to hurt what Julian Edelman's done for this team.
Sure.
Like, because Welker put up big numbers, like, he'll get no consideration for the Hall of Fame ever.
No.
And yet he's going to have 500 catch seasons.
Yep. 5 for 87 last night, Julian Edelman, and he's amazing. And what? And you're absolutely right that Wes Welker is going to hurt his candidacy. And it's so funny because I talked about this last night when I was watching the game. Danny Amendola, who had 8 for 78 in a touchdown because he shows up in the Super Bowl, the Undertaker, as some would say.
Yeah.
He was signed to replace Wes Welker, and it wasn't. And he didn't get that job. Julian Edelman did, because Amendola had his injuries, and Edelman stepped up. Yep. And Edelman went from playing fifth wide receiver / cornerback to being Brady's, what, all-time leading wide receiver when it's all said and done? So it's like, you're right. Julian Edelman's not going to get the recognition. But last night...
I think you can say something about that, but I think if you're a smart voter, you know, you will.
Well, as we saw over the weekend, we don't know how smart the voters are.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the whole thing in a little bit. Yeah. Tom Brady...
I'm not saying we'll have enough of them.
Tom Brady, last night... threw the ball 62 times for 466 yards, both Super Bowl records, 2 touchdowns, an INT. Brady was bad in the first half.
He was.
He was bad.
He had some drops, too, though.
He had some drops, absolutely.
I think you got to give the Falcons' defense some credit, too.
They do. They played very fast and very aggressive in that first half.
I thought the way they got in the backfield. And he missed. You're right. He missed some passes. But you got to give the Falcons' defense. Like, that's the thing that it's going to get lost because of these numbers are huge. But they played good.
Yeah, the way Quinn coaches, you know, these guys fly to the ball. I think, you know, this team's... I don't know if we've seen the best of the Falcons yet, because they start drafting for defense. These guys get older, et cetera. You know, Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, et cetera. You know, there's talent back there.
Neal had 13 tackles yesterday.
Yeah.
Brady, early on, like, he had the drops. Like, Edelman dropped one, and Hogan dropped one. And there are also times Brady just did not put the ball in the money. And as you said, the Falcons got in his face. I mean, that Grady Jarrett had 3 sacks all year, 3 sacks last night. So they were in his face. And it took maybe until even the second half where Brady was able to get into a rhythm. And as one Falcon said, he figured out our game plan. He figured out our game plan, and they knew how to stop us. And we couldn't fix it. And again, that is on coaching. It is on Dan Quinn, and it is on both coaching staffs for getting the job done. Running-wise, LeGarrette Blount actually led the Patriots in carries at 11 carries, 31 yards. I was shocked, Tony, that after he fumbled the ball, he played again. I thought there was no way Belichick put him back in the game.
It's so funny you said that, because I was thinking the same thing, like, years past, that would be the end of it. But they don't have any other big running back, and I thought they thought they could exploit this defense. So that's why he got back into the game. But I really, after watching this game, there's a lot of sabermetrics in baseball, and there's a lot of in basketball. We have a lot of smart guys that run around and crunch numbers. I wonder if we're going to get to a point where, in the NFL, someone's going to crunch numbers and realize that you're better off just passing every play than ever running a ball.
Well, that's where we're kind of at with the two-point conversion, right? Like, the numbers say you really should go for two every time. Like, it makes sense to go for, sabermetrically, it makes sense to go for two every time. We haven't reached that point outside of the Steelers for the most part. But sabermetrically, it does make sense, and you're absolutely right. It's going to make sense to pass the ball every time.
And there's always going to be the scouting perspective, though, because to Tony's point, you know, talking about, you know, the big guy running the ball, how well the Falcons defense played in the first half, it's like Blount had nowhere to go because they were playing so much faster than the Patriots, especially Blount. Yeah. Like, he could not get to a hole before it was filled up by 2-3 Falcons.
He looked slow. He looked slow, comparatively.
But it was more about the Falcons, like, really playing to the ball.
Totally agree with that. Totally agree. Deion Lewis and James White each carry the ball 6 times. Lewis for 27, James White for 29. Do you think, Core, that the reason James White was so effective is because they were in comeback mode, and that's the James White, Deion Lewis role? Like, why White over Lewis last night?
I think mainly because of the fact of White's been up to speed more familiar with the game, camping out there all season long, getting the reps and getting the ability. We've seen Lewis start to be worked back into the game plan as the season went further and further. But yesterday was a game that set up perfectly for James White. We know that the New England Patriots running game is their short passing game. And on 16 targets, he was amazing last night and should have been the game's MVP.
Ah, see, I told you. I agree very much with that. White was amazing. Yeah, I know you said Brady. I know you said Brady.
He threw 466 yards.
That's crazy too. Yeah, well, they should have had. They should have been the co MVP.
Well, okay. Well,
he got the Disney World spot. Yeah, okay. he got the Disney World spot.
Good. That's good. Yeah.
Which I thought was fair. It made me actually feel good seeing that, to be honest with you.
If the Falcons won, who do you think would have been the MVP?
So I thought about that, right? Let's just say they won and they ran out the clock, like nothing crazy happens the rest of the game.
The two-point conversion failed. Two-point conversion failed.
Right.
Who was the MVP?
I think it's between two guys. Okay. Grady Jarrett had the three sacks, but Robert Alford also recovered the blunt fumble and had the interception return for the touchdown.
Right. I think you can make.
I thought it was Grady Jarrett.
You thought it was Grady Jarrett. Alford definitely came to mind. I thought that.
Yeah.
I actually thought Devontae Freeman could have been in there. I thought it would have been Freeman.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been Devontae Freeman.
If they would have gave him the ball down the fourth quarter, he'd have won.
I thought on that 39 yard. I thought on that 39 yard catch and run that he was going to break it.
Oh my goodness!
And if he did, he might have been the MVP.
I thought the first play of the game.
He was going to take the first play of the game.
I thought he was going.
He has moves, yo. I didn't know he had moves like that.
Tell you what, he's going to get paid.
Yo, yeah, yeah. He's probably.
They made it known he's getting paid.
Yeah, they made it known, and he made it known for sure last night. Devontae Freeman has two catches, 46 yards, a 39 yard catch and run that a lot of us thought were going to the house. 11 for 75 and the 37 yard run to open the game. I mean, he was just. An awesome night for Devontae Freeman.
Almost 7 yards a pop when he carried the football 11 times.
He's good.
He carried the football 19 times, the Atlanta Falcons are the Super Bowl champions.
He's that good. You know, he is that good for real. Tevin Coleman carried the ball 7 times, 29 yards. Also caught a touchdown from Matt Ryan. Tevin Coleman got hurt last night, though.
Yeah.
He should be okay, though, of course, for our purposes.
Yeah. And
let me ask a question, though, on Devontae Freeman. We all agree how good he is.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about it, right? And you'll definitely open up. Does it change, though, anywhere you're going to draft him? I still think he goes in the second round.
I still think so, too.
Yeah,
probably.
I think you have Coleman there. There's going to be that perception of that, you know?
I think 112 to 2-3 in that range.
So you think
he could go in some first round?
I think he can push into the first round.
Do you think it's because, like, playoff Super Bowl hangover type thing? Like, I remember how good Devontae Freeman was.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely do, too. I think that's the thing that's going to push him out.
I agree, but Scotty, we have seen this before, and it's the obvious question. Kyle Shanahan is gone. We don't know where the quarterback's coach is going, right? Like, he could go with Shanahan, he could go with Sean McVay, he could stay in Atlanta. This may be a totally different offense in Atlanta.
Exactly.
It could, because, you know, if you're drafting right now, maybe that's, you know, Corey's right about, you know, the parameters where you put it, but coaching change will definitely play a factor.
Yeah, you want to see them keep this system in place. You want to see them in the third year in this system because you know how the pieces fit and you know how it works. They bring somebody new in there and they change the system, I'm off all of them.
I agree. You know, I totally agree with that. And the reason I just feel so bad for the Falcons today, it's so hard to get back.
It is.
People don't realize that.
I was thinking that this morning. It's so hard just to get there once, to even get there. And you may never, ever get back again. There's some guys, so many guys have made it there once and have never, ever made it back again. But just to play back to the fantasy point that you were talking about,
sure.
Matt Ryan, you know, no Shanahan next year. Are people going to overdraft him?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. I think it's very possible Matt Ryan playing another new offense, perhaps, and Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman. I think all these guys outside of Julio Jones probably gets overdrafted in a way next year in fantasy.
Julio will always be high.
No, that's why I said outside of Julio.
He's having surgery.
On his toe. So going back to the Falcons thing,
and I don't like the way how he's taken out of games too.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I he's a player I really won't be in on.
You want to talk about being taken out of a game? And I haven't heard anyone say this.
Okay.
Vic Beasley, no tackles.
Oh, I
thought about that this morning.
Yeah. But even more,
all that Vic Beasley talk.
Even more so. Tell you what about Vic Beasley. He times his jump a little bit better. He intercepts Brady inside the end zone.
Yeah.
And he may be still playing, you know? Like, That was a ballsy call. I didn't like that call by McDaniels. And Scotty, I'm sure, knows.
Terrible.
You're on the 1 yard line. You give that ball to LeGarrette Blount and let him get in.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I thought Tom Brady would sneak it in.
I thought so too.
You're
and I hate to say this. I hate to say this. They wanted Brady to get the glory last night. They wanted him to throw the game winning Super Bowl touchdown pass. And that was what McDaniels was thinking on that play. And they didn't hand it to him. Just give it to LeGarrette Blount. Let him go up the middle. We have seen this before. And they threw. He throws a jump ball to the corner of the end zone that if Vic Beasley times the jump a little bit better.
He takes that.
Yeah. Holy
crap. I wonder if the fumble came into the play there on LeGarrette Blount.
It's possible. Because the next play, they didn't give it to Blount either, right? They gave it to James White.
White on a pitch. Yeah.
Which I thought was crazy also. Like, I thought that was. I know it got in and it won the Super Bowl. I understand it. I was shocked by that play. Because all of a sudden, right? Vic Beasley.
Yeah, I was watching the game with my son and I said, Wouldn't it be crazy if like Brady got intercepted on the 1 yard
line? But then on the toss play, right?
Awesome.
You toss it 4 yards back. What if he gets tackled back there? Now you're not on the goal line anymore, and all of a sudden you won't get that third down. You have to kick a field goal. Maybe
I agree with you.
Right.
In person, like if you're coaching. And you were on the ball, like the worst call in the world is a sweep because you could lose yards.
Oh,
you'll lose 1 yard run.
Yeah.
But I think they knew they had that defense tired.
I agree with that.
And, and they wanted to make them run.
Do you think Belichick would have just went for it on fourth down, too? Tried to win it? He might have.
I don't know.
I was considering it.
If they're on the one,
yeah. If he's on the one, whatever. Like, they're going to have to go 99 yards to beat us or get a field goal to beat us. We're playing like that's amazing. The other big number that is crazy to me, Brady threw 62 times. It's a Super Bowl record, right? Matt Ryan threw the ball 23 times last night. 23
the Patriots
times.
Ran almost double the plays.
Yeah. 23 times he threw the ball.
They set a record.
And that is the least amount of times he threw the ball all year long.
That's what you want to do, though. You want to keep that Falcons offense off the field as much as you can.
And they did a good job of that in the second half.
I thought that early on they were doing a good job of that, but they were making turnovers.
His most targeted wide receiver, his most targeted pass catcher was Austin Hooper.
Mm-hmm. How about?
I understand that's a part of their game, getting everybody involved, but come on.
Scott, you said that just a moment ago. You said that the Falcons almost got doubled in plays.
Yeah.
They did. 93 plays for New England, 46 plays for Atlanta.
Yep.
Double the plays, and you were up 25 points in this game. How does that happen? How does that happen? 546 total yards for New England, 344 for Atlanta. Unbelievable. And the Patriots, by the way, they only had two more drives than the Falcons. 13 drives for New England, 11 drives for Atlanta. Atlanta just did not get the job done.
No. You know, we heard all that, you know, the Falcons, you know, can't be stopped. But when it counted, the Patriots couldn't be stopped.
The time of possession was 40 and a half minutes for New England, 23 and a half for
And now, Atlanta. Here's another number. 7 times in the Super Bowl, the number one scoring defense has faced the number one scoring offense. 7 times the number one scoring defense has won.
How about that?
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I'm thinking the defense. I mean, the defense stepped up in the second half last night, of course.
This is what I said. I didn't expect that the Patriots defense to shut him down, but I expected him to be timely, and they were timely.
You cannot say you were right about that prediction last week,
about
Scott.
What prediction?
This defense is going to win this game. It's going to be a defense.
I said on Twitter before the game, I said the Patriots defense is going to be timely and make the difference. And I felt with the strip sack of the Dont'a Hightower recovered by Branch, and also the fact that they sacked them on that final drive, I felt that the Patriots made timely defensive plays.
And they did, obviously. They obviously got the job done. Collapse or comeback? Oh. The gentleman on the table will decide. On the other side of this break, it's the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm interested to see if Tom Brady will do it again. 40 years old. I think his contract's coming up, right, Tony? His contract's coming up. Do you think he's going to this time he's going to get his, or he's going to just keep not taking money?
He's just going to keep not taking money, I think. And I think Robert Kraft delivers a bag to his house every once in a while.
It's fair. Or I mean, just let him own the team or whatever. It doesn't matter. yeah, so there you go. All right. The question was, collapse or comeback? And I brought it up, 7 o'clock, an hour, bring it up again. And it's hard to quantify, of course, because I think it's a little bit of both, no doubt. Yeah. But if you had to choose one, you had to just choose a side here, collapse or comeback, going around the table here. Scotty, collapse or comeback?
Like you said, I think it's both. But if I had to pick one, I would say comeback. You have to give credit where credit is due. When you come back from 25 points down in the biggest on the biggest stage, it's more about giving credit than taking credit away. I think I have to go comeback.
Okay, Corey Parson.
I think I agree. You could both factors into this. Obviously, the poor play calling and things like that down the stretch by the Atlanta Falcons. But I just don't like to take anything away from the champions. You know what I mean? They did win the game. They did complete the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Oh boy! So I'm gonna go ahead and say that it's more of a comeback than it is a collapse.
Tony.
I think, like everyone else said, it's a little bit of both. But when you have to score in the fourth quarter every time you have the ball and then get two-point conversions as well, it's a comeback. I mean, the multiple two-point conversions is crazy.
I agree. Like I said, it's a little bit of both. We're all on the same table with that. But to me, it's a comeback because you got to hold everybody scoreless. You got to hold your team scoreless, every single time out there. Every single time. And you got to score with 2-1 conversion every single time. It was crazy. And I'm watching now behind me here at Rock and Riley's of all the Super Bowl highlights with Patriots over the dynasty. And Corey, you've mentioned a lot during this show, right? Like, just get the ball to Julio Jones. Like, you don't even care if it's completed or not, right? Four targets. Like, just throw it. Who cares? Just get it to him. Get it to Devontae Freeman. And I look back, Scotty, to the Seahawks, right? Because not only did they throw it on first down from the goal line, they threw it to what? Ricardo Lockett?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, Taylor Gabriel, Austin Hooper? Ricardo, why do teams overthink and outthink themselves?
That's pressure on the big stage, and that's what Shanahan did. The Seahawks overthought it. I think the Falcons overthought it too.
And I watched that final play from last night again. I mean, they had chances to tackle him. They did on that sweep. It was a bad play call, but it was the right play call. Obviously, crazy, just a crazy, crazy. Super Bowl 51, and they'll do it all again next year. They'll be back
in Minneapolis. Minneapolis.
There you go.
Excuse me.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes.
I guess, hey, Tony.
Died yet?
Tony. I guess
would've
the
been a lock for the halftime show.
Who is Prince?
I said if he didn't die, he would have been a lock.
Well, we say that, but we thought like in New York, we had something like New York won. It was Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's the whole.
In Houston, they gave you Lady Gaga.
Well, I googled the famous artist from there wasn't. I didn't find too much to choose from.
Beyonce's from the Texas from out there. Isn't she?
Beyonce's from Houston, yeah. But she can't do it every year.
Well, they didn't have to have her last year.
Yeah, that's true too.
Oh yeah, they screwed that up. I didn't find her when I looked it up, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Beyonce's from out there. And really, Tony, you could have had a nice country singer out in Texas.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. Luke Bryan actually did a good job on the national anthem.
Yeah, he was good.
He was not wearing blue jeans, was he?
He wasn't.
He was wearing black jeans.
Yeah, he didn't wear blue jeans.
He was dressed up for the event.
He was being, I think he was being respectful for the place. Luke Bryan is like an entertainer, and he's not a really great singer. Like,
right.
That surprised me at how well he sang yesterday.
What did you think? You got to ask it. The girls sing "America the Beautiful" from Hamilton. Changed the words a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
Really?
No, I don't think you should change the word. I think you need to just do it like it was played out.
Corey?
I didn't actually get to catch that part. So, how'd she do?
They added the word sisterhood in. Brotherhood and sisterhood, they added it.
Oh, so.
So there you go. It was nice. I thought it was nice.
you know, people are going to feel some way about that, some way or another. You know what I'm saying? I try not to get into those debates.
Understandably. Probably never end well for you.
I'm sure it won't.
Probably won't end well. Hey, you know what? Joe Buck didn't lie when he went on Stern last week. He did not lie. No Aaron Hernandez.
Yep.
No Michael Vick.
Yep.
No Matty Ice.
Didn't even see Michael Vick at the game.
Was he there?
I'm sure he was there.
I don't know. I didn't see him.
Certainly he was there.
No one from Atlanta went, it seemed like.
Yeah, literally no. I didn't even see Bon Jovi there last night.
Yeah, I didn't see Bon Jovi either.
Why would Bon Jovi
Kenny Chesney
there?
Was in the box.
Is Bon Jovi always there with Robert Kraft?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney was the guy that was there last night. It was kind of crazy.
Well, that's weird. Did you see, was Gronk there last night?
Yeah, Gronk
they
was
showed
there.
Him on the sidelines. Yeah.
Oh, he was on the sidelines. Because he wasn't in the box.
No, he's with his teammates.
Well, last week he was in the box.
Hmm?
2 weeks ago in the AFC Championship game, he was in the box.
Yeah,
they were talking early about how you never fully replace a guy like Gronk when the Patriots weren't doing well offensively.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what. What'd you think of the Pats at Brady and Gronk in commercials during the game?
I didn't love it. I did not love it at all, to be honest with you.
I thought it was weird that they would do that because I get why you do it. They get the money and everything and the players there. But that's not like the Patriots.
To be fair, though, Tony, those spots are probably filmed months ago, right?
Oh, yeah, but they knew they would be in the Super Bowl. Right? They knew that they were going to play them on the Super Bowl. Maybe they thought they were going to be playing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because if they weren't in the Super Bowl, we wouldn't have had a problem with it.
Right. That's true.
Corey, no James Harden commercial, right? No James Harden in the commercial.
Yeah, what's up with that? And not to mention the fact it was in his hometown also. And I think
was he there?
No, I didn't see him.
No James.
And I think we kept hearing rumors that he was going to be in the commercial, but none.
Mm. The only seemingly rumor that came true was Gaga on the roof.
Yep, that was.
That was the only rumor that came true. As I said a little bit earlier, the prop bet of what song she'll sing first, nobody had unless you guessed other, because it was God Bless America. However, R.J. Bell, who's R.J. in Vegas on Twitter, like a gambling expert, he had said that if certain books will honor her first live song, because obviously that wasn't live, her first live song from the stage, which was Poker Face.
Yep.
So there you go. Those are the two debate. Poker Face was closest. It's funny because she started singing Edge of Glory. She started singing Just Dance, and then went into Poker Face from the main stage there. So there you go. Super Bowl 51's halftime show. Super Bowl 51, of course, the Patriots defeated it. Well, I think it was actually the score you predicted, Scott.
I was 4 points off.
What'd you say?
34. I said 34-24.
I thought I was coming in this morning, and I thought you said 34-28. But
I said 34-24. But I was correct in all my playoff matchup predictions.
You were. Yeah. You had a good playoffs.
Yeah. You even had Atlanta over Seattle.
Yeah, I did.
You had
the Cowboys getting eliminated right away.
You had that too.
What is wrong with you?
Just couldn't. And this guy would this guy texted you sorry when the Cowboys won.
I really think he's sincere.
What?
If you would have texted Corey minutes after Green Bay defeated Dallas, so you said, "Hey, sorry,
no,
man." I'm saying, if you did, do you think you would have thought that was sincere?
If I did, it would have been sincere. But I didn't do it because he would have gave me the same crap the other way. So I do it to those who earn it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break, guys. We're going to come back. We're getting some of the stuff from Super Bowl weekend, which includes the Hall of Fame vote. Let's talk about the winners. We'll talk about T.O. We're getting all the Hall of Fame stuff coming up next. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Super Bowl weekend, always exciting, because you have the Hall of Fame vote. You have the Super Bowl Hall of Fame vote. And NFL Hall of Fame, not Super Bowl Hall of Fame vote. And this year was an interesting year, man. This was an interesting year. Because the class was probably not what you expected, right? The Hall of Fame class, you could say headlined, if you will, by two first-time nominees, LaDainian Tomlinson and Jason Taylor. They both get in first ballot. And the other guys, Kurt Warner gets in. Terrell Davis, my man, gets in. Jake Seeley did not like that on Twitter, by the way.
I agree.
Kenny Easley.
I was very happy about that.
Morton Anderson. And Jerry Jones. Your boy, Jerry Jones. That is your seven-man Hall of Fame class for 2017. And yet, to me, the biggest story that I had seen once this came out on Saturday night, which, of course, came out before the NFL Honor Awards took place, but whatever, it leaks out.
Yeah, I turned my notifications off.
Now, did you? You were watching the Honor Show? You didn't want to know?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Me too.
Really? You turned your notifications off?
Yeah, but...
Do you get notifications?
What's that?
Do you get notifications?
Yeah, yeah. But why do you think I wouldn't?
I don't. I don't get any notifications. Yeah. But the story wasn't any of these seven guys. The story was Terrell Owens, not making the Hall of Fame. A lot of crap over that. And then it came out a little bit afterwards. He did not make the cut from 15 to 10. Scott, I'll ask a two-part question. Do you agree with the Terrell Owens decision? And do you agree with the seven that made the Hall of Fame?
I agree with the seven that made the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Don't have a problem with any of them. I thought it was interesting and easily got in through the seniors committee.
Okay.
Was very deserving. Member of the All-80s team. I don't agree with not having Terrell Owens in. I can understand not him getting in on the first ballot, but like we talk about, best of the best, the guy was definitely the best of the best. I can see the reasons why they're keeping him out. I don't think he's going to be kept out for much longer. I think you can certainly make a case for Isaac Bruce as well.
Torrey Holt didn't even make it from 20 to 15. Isaac Bruce, I guess, did, from what I'm understanding. Corey, same question to you.
This is... I mean, I guess people say that because of what he did as far as in the locker room.
Right.
So how many years do you punish him for that?
So I think it's, personally, I'll ask Tony the same question in just a second. I think it's a combination of two things. It is that, what he has done in the locker room, I guess a lot of people off, yeah. I guess. And number two, I think it's hard, for whatever reason, pushing through these wide receivers. Right? Like, I know we saw Marvin Harrison get in, right, last year. But we are seeing a struggle pushing through these wide receivers and trying to break through for some reason.
Yeah, but we're not just talking about any wide receiver.
Nope.
We're talking about, statistically, the second best wide receiver to lace him up. That's who Terrell Owens is. Terrell Owens needed to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You want to take away from him because of... the locker room issues, okay, you do it for 1 year. But you put Jason Taylor goes in on the first ballot, but Terrell Owens doesn't go in on the first ballot? Terrell Davis goes in, period?
He deserved it.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
I don't think Terrell Davis is deserving of it. What I'm noticing is you get a job on the NFL Network, mm-hmm. or you start working in the media,
sure.
they figure out a way to push you through. I don't really think Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer. Don't get me wrong, take two different teams to the Super Bowl. I get that part of it. But these guys are in, and Terrell Owens or not, I think LaDainian Tomlinson is a first ballot guy, obviously. And really, I don't have a problem with Warner going in or Morton Anderson going in, but I don't look. I thought this was a poor Hall of Fame class, made even worse by the omission of Terrell Owens.
Tony, same question to you.
The Terrell Owens thing is fascinating to me, that he doesn't get in. As Corey mentioned, he's second leading all time in the history of football in yards receiving. I have no the Jason Taylor thing. You're right. How does he get in, and how does Terrell Owens not?
Sure.
And that's a big, big problem. I thought Tony Pacelli was a guy that would get in.
Yeah, I thought Pacelli too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he didn't get in when Jason Taylor got in. So I pointed Jason Taylor. I even have a problem, I guess, with Morton Anderson getting in too. And I know it's a position in the NFL, so you got to give him. But this guy's most famous thing is missing a clutch kick.
Sure, it's true. But I guess it's a longevity thing, right? Like, he just stayed in forever. Yeah. This probably paves the way for Adam Vinatieri too, right?
Well, he leads the league. Doesn't he leave the NFL in scoring?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, the problem for me is, I guess, Terrell Owens, it's all about what he did. In this, I don't actually fault people for this, right? If you were, if people saw you as a bad teammate, all about you, like, how much of a negative should that be on you? Like, if you're not a team player, you can't argue that with the statistics that he has, that he's not a Hall of Famer. That's ludicrous.
I feel like the football hall takes intangibles more into account, positive or negative, than the baseball hall does.
But Lawrence Taylor's in it.
What's that?
Lawrence Taylor's in it.
So what does that mean to what I just said?
Yeah, but that, when you say intangibles, you mean like off the field?
I'm saying for good or for bad. You know, I think baseball, the voters care more about pure numbers, and that's it. More than I think football, like, they take more the intangibles into account.
Oh, I don't agree with that. We talked about baseball voting just a couple of weeks ago, right? We talked about Curt Schilling and his personality and Barry Bonds and Clemens and how they hate the media, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I think Terrell Owens, Terrell Owens was tough on the media.
I don't think a guy like Terrell Davis would ever get a baseball Hall of Fame with, like, the short window of his success.
Right. Well, and that's fine. It's just a bit of a different conversation. And I don't think it's Owens with the media. I think it's Owens with the people. The people around Owens do not like him.
And you talk about Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor had like a really great reputation around the media, etc. Became part of the media.
No, but what did he? I understand he was a good player on the field. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jason Taylor.
He was a good player.
He was a good player. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens was great. Terrell Owens was legendary. He's one of the best players to ever lace him up. You go back and you look at Terrell Owens' numbers. He was more than touchdown celebrations. This guy was getting it done. Now, what you can't say about Owens, he dropped a lot of footballs. He was targeted a lot. And I think he only had one 100-catch reception in his entire career. But he had plenty of 140, 145 target seasons where he didn't come up with, he didn't come down with all of those receptions. He constantly led the NFL and dropped passes. But still, what he was able to do, you want to leave him out the first year because of the things, obviously the blow-ups and stuff like that, fine. Leave him out again, and it's going to get worse. Because when he complains about it, they're only going to make him wait longer.
And you talk about the Taylor thing, but I look at, for the most part, looking at the guys that got in that you're talking about, I feel like they want guys in who have a certain reputation. And Terrell Owens doesn't have that reputation. I'm not saying I agree with it. I think, I look at it. Kurt Warner has a good reputation. Terrell Davis has a good reputation. You know, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor, you know, all these kind of guys, I think, you know, they're regarded as like stand up guys.
Marvin Harrison's in it.
Last year. So I don't.
Just last year they put Marvin Harrison.
There are some exceptions to it, but I think a lot of these guys with their reputation. I think John Lynch will probably get in at some point.
I just don't think players don't like Terrell Owens. It's very simple.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with Owens' reputation. I think people don't like Terrell Owens. Ray Lewis is going to get next year.
That's his
reputation.
Ray Lewis is going to be a first ballot guy next year.
It's nothing to do with reputation.
And Ray Lewis, you know, he got things.
Yeah.
He does.
He's got things.
But he's also been in the media, too.
And that's what I'm saying. They're giving preference to the athletes.
I'm sort of agreeing with you.
In the media.
Corey, I'm sort of agreeing with you.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. But why, though? Why? Because somebody gets hired by the NFL Network, now you bring them into the Hall of Fame? That's not right.
Next year, up for enshrinement, Ray Lewis, as I mentioned, Brian Urlacher, Rondé Barber, Jeff Saturday. Donald Driver's list of the year, but Donald Driver, Matt Burke, Steve Hutchinson, and the most interesting one probably, Randy Moss.
If Moss gets in and Terrell Owens doesn't,
next year,
Moss is in the media now, too.
I mean, that's crazy. But Ray Lewis is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Shouldn't Randy Moss be too?
Not if Terrell Owens, is it?
Who's greater?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a large debate. Moss and Owens. They're the two similar guys their entire careers in the NFL. Both now going to be up for enshrinement here. It's really interesting because a lot of people say the same thing about Moss. And you're right, Scott. He's in the media now, and he's changed the image a little bit here.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of that also has to change. Is the voting process for the Hall of Fame? It's like 40 voters. It's not a good sample size. Not enough. Take a break. Top of the hour. We're going to come back. We'll continue talking some football. Even some baseball, some basketball. We'll see. It's 9 o'clock hour. It's Roto Experts in the morning. 2 hours down, 1 more to go. Stick around. Back after this.